And basically, it's you focusing on a discipline in your life that you're going to dedicate to, and you're going to make it the greatest thing that you possibly can. But here she is. She says, the mom says, I now dedicate all the silver to you, God. But what we read in Scripture is that she doesn't do that. She actually pulls 200 of the shekels of silver back and holds them to be made. Now, check this out. Not just to keep, but to turn them into idols. So, guys, she goes and tells her son, I want you to go and make a carved image. I want you to make a molded image out of this silver that I'm giving you. Now, a carved image would be like a piece of wood that they would carve it into a whatever they want it to be, and they would plate it in silver. But the molded would be a cast that would pour molten silver into, and it would look something like this. This is actually from the day and time that we're talking about right now. These are Canaanite gods that were made from pure silver and gold. And so I actually had to work just to find two that weren't pornographic. Because remember what I told you about Canaanite worship was that it's very sexually centered. And so here are two gods that that Micah would have made and had in his house. But here's where it doesn't stop there. It says that he kept them in his home and he made a shrine for the gods. Okay, so it's not just one. She said make one and do what, but he made gods, turned it into a shrine, and everybody say and. And he made one of these. Look at this right here. You guys remember the golden ephod from Gideon? Well, he made the same thing, but he did it in silver, and it became a trap for him and his family and for the township that was around there. But guys, let's look at what God has to say about images. Let's just look at it very quickly. Exodus 20, verse 4 says this. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Leviticus 26:1 says, do not make idols or set up carved images or sacred pillars or sculptured stones in your land so you may worship them. I am the Lord. Guys, I love that faith. I love that my faith is not centered around that I have to see it to believe it. That God, you've got to show me before that I believe. I'm just thankful that I'm trying to do my best to live to Romans 10:17. Look at this. That so then faith comes by what? Hearing. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, guys, if there's anything that we learn even in today in 2022, is that images distort the true glory of who God is. Guys, look, listen to this right here. No matter what that image is that we would create, it would never capture the true essence or majesty of who God is. I think of the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean, which I have swam in both. I've flown over both. And they're just all the life that has to be in there that God created. Even that, as majestic as it is, it would never capture the majesty of who God is. I think about our universe that we live in and these pictures that Hubble sends back to us. And I just can't even believe it's out there, but yet it still cannot capture the majesty of the one who created what we're looking at. But guys, once you cast that image, whatever it is, you have limited God to how you perceive him and how you want him to look and how you want him to be. And once we begin to worship an image, a person, an ideal, if we begin to worship a movement of culture, at some point, that image, that idol is not enough. And let me say this, church, just from my heart to you, it will never be enough. It will never be enough. I was thinking about like money. That people worship, the sex, the alcohol, you can talk about drugs, you can talk about people who just want to expand their minds, not on drugs, but just they want to know more. Guys, there's a guy named Brocco the Gazer. Has anybody ever heard of Brocco the Gazer? This guy flies around the world, and he does it 8 times a day, wherever he lands. If he's in Los Angeles or San Diego or wherever it is, he'll do 8 of these sessions. He charges people $10 a piece for him to walk out on a platform for 6 minutes, and all he does is gazes at them with his eyes. And people will be crying. They're holding pictures of people that have died that they're wanting to, him to save. His gaze is supposed to heal people of all infirmities and all these other kinds of things. And all he's doing is standing there, and he doesn't say a thing. They just put on a little bit of music, and he just gazes at them. But guys, let me tell you something right now. There is no man alive that can stand on a pulpit and just gaze at you and that the healing power is going to come from him. Healing power is only going to come from the Son of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And there's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one God. And when a man stands up there, that is an image that the world is wanting so desperately to be true, but it's not. Because it's not God. Because it's not Jesus, it's not his Holy Spirit. It will never be able to satisfy or to fulfill. So what do? We will move to something else to worship. It happens all the time, you guys. Look at this thought that's going to come up on the screen for you. We worship other things because we have lost the nearness of God. Because we have removed his tender grip on our hearts. I don't say this because I don't want you to pay your tithe or anything like that. This is not what this is about. But I'm going to say this. God doesn't need our money. He's never needed our opinions. He's never needed our approval. You know what he wants the most from us is our hearts. He wants us to dedicate that. He wants us to desire a day-to-day relationship with him, that our dedication to his plan or his call on our life would be a daily commitment, that when I say I dedicate this to you, that it would come from my heart and it would be seen in my day-to-day life. I was doing some research on this. I was kind of diving deep into it because I was starting to feel some conviction even in my own heart. And I kept hearing these writers and these commentator people talking about King Hezekiah. And so I finally just went to 2 Kings, and I was looking at what they were talking about. And I want you guys to see this with your own eyes. It comes out of 2 Kings 3-6, and it says this. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, he smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it, and it was called Nahushtan. Now, guys, look at this in the Hebrew. Nahushtan just basically means in Hebrew a thing of brass. What they're trying to say there is it's not God, it's not even his spirit. And here the Israelites, years later, hundreds of years later, they're still burning incense to something that God was not in. God, for one moment in time, told the people while they were getting bit by the snakes, if you need something so desperately to look at other than me, then put the snake up on a pole, and for this moment, it will keep you alive. It was never meant to be worshipped the next day. It was never meant to be taken into the land where they were going to go and be set up as something that they would burn incense to daily. Because God is God. God is God. An image cannot replace his majesty. So let's look in verse 4, five, we're going to get into this. And what we see going on here is that Micah and his mom have created, now listen to what I'm going to say, have created a 100% man-manufactured worship system. Let me say it again, a 100% man-manufactured worship system. Look at this in verse 5. Micah set up a shrine for the idol, and he made a sacred ephod and some household idols. Then, check this out, he installed one of his sons as his personal priest. Guys, this is just, they're tripping out. These guys are nuts. Like, you can say whatever you want to say about them, but they have gone into something that is all being manufactured by them. They have no business messing around with an ephod, first of all, and that he would just choose one of his sons and go, you are the priest of our home, you are the priest of our township. Guys, in 2020, all of us were part of, and it was worldwide, a 100% man-made worship, a manufactured worship system. All of us were. And it was because of COVID. COVID made us all stay in our homes and worship from a TV. Come on, just stay with me. I did the same thing. I came for the first Sunday back in 2020, and literally your next Sunday you closed church. Like I had to get to know your church just by watching online. And so guys, here's what happened. All of a sudden now, you know, we're going home and this, by the way, this is a couch. okay? And this is what we all sat on every Sunday morning. We would get in here and we'd sit down and we'd be excited. Maybe the first Sunday we got our coffee, you know, getting, you know, all this. And we might have even stood up and worshiped along with the worship team on the TV about the first few times. But guys, as a few weeks went by, man, we're lucky if we're not down here just in our underwear. You know, we're in pajamas, guys, you know what I'm saying? It's like we got our cheese balls. You know what I mean? Somebody told me to eat these, but I won't be able to preach after if I do. But guys, like, y'all want me to eat one? No, I'm joking. Anyway, but you got your cheese balls and all this, and next thing you know, it's like you're pausing it. You're doing this. You know, trying to stay awake. You can actually get up late that Sunday and go, I don't need to be down there when it's live. I'll watch it later. And what happens is we might not even have watched it at all. But what happened was, here's where we went wrong, was that once the church doors opened, some people would use the excuse, I don't want to catch COVID, so I'm not going to go. But man, as the years went on, all of a sudden now, it's all about comfort. It's that I get to stay in my pajamas. That we can't use this excuse anymore, but what happens is we were at a district council, you guys, last year in May, or no, just this past May. I'm out there with hundreds of ministers from Maryland to Virginia for the District of Assemblies of God. And you know what they talked about was that we still have an incredibly high percentage of our churches, just in the AG, that are still not meeting in a church. We still have a high percentage of churches that cannot get their people to leave their couches and come back and worship with one another. We got used to a man-made, manufactured worship system. So Mike and Mom, remember, Mom's still involved with this thing. You know, the intent of honoring God really started out, I think it was legit. She said, God, I've got my silver back now, I'm going to give it to you, but it didn't go that way. She ended up keeping some and turned it into another worship system. But what happened was it got out of hand quickly. Why? Because there was no relationship with God, and it leads me to my second thought. To be a follower of Jesus, this is going to be deep, you guys, you actually have to follow Jesus. Everybody give me an amen on that. To be a follower of Jesus, you actually have to follow Jesus. Judges 17:6 says this, that in those days Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. You guys remember what we read about King Hezekiah? Listen to this right here. I'm going to remind you. 2 Kings 18:3, he said that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. See how different that is? It's doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord instead of our own eyes. So Micah has created all these fake gods, but here's where it got ugly, was that in Judges 17:4, it said, and they were in the house of Micah. He set the shrine up in his own house, and this is when it all quickly went downhill. This is no longer about following God or being dedicated to God. It has become, this is how I see it. And see, the tendency of a man is to move away from God. Let me just give you a couple reminders. And you might have people, this has happened to, or it might happen to yourself. Oh, somebody said something to me about church, so I'm not going to go anymore. Oh, somebody hurt my feelings, and so, if they're a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with it. So-and-so, they live this way, and so they're no different than me. Why do I need to go? Oh, they're hypocrites. Oh, they're this. And what happens is that the man, it's easy, because that's why we can create so many things that we want to bow down to, because at some point, we're going to move on to something else. That's our tendency. Guys, tendency in the dictionary is this. It's speaking to the likelihood. It speaks of a shift, like a leaning, like all of a sudden now I'm leaning a different way. It actually means that we're operating in a place of weakness instead of strength. Whatever seems right to me. You ever heard somebody say, I'm a grown blank man? I almost said the word. I'm a grown woman. You ever heard people say this? Or where they say, you don't know me. You don't pay my bills. You can't tell me how to live my life. I don't know when Huggies created the Huggies pull-ups. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody that's had a baby, There are these diapers that you don't have to fast anymore. That kid can actually take them off and on. Remember where it says in the song, and I can take them off and on. You know, oh, mommy, wow. I'm a big kid now. You know what I mean? That song is like, I don't care how old you are. That's a catchy tune, man. You just catch yourself singing that in the car. Why is it not just underwear? Why are they Huggies pull-ups? Well, because they're still making mistakes. Is everybody with me? They're still having accidents. And what happens is that if we're not following Jesus, if we're not making this about Jesus and we're saying, oh, I'm a Christian, but we're really not living for him, well, the reality is that even with Jesus in our life, we're still going to make mistakes. We still need his Holy Spirit for protection. Guys, this is one of the coolest Deuteronomy scriptures that I like to read. I want you guys to check this out. Deuteronomy 12, 1-5. All the days that you live on the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains, and on the hills, and under every green tree. You shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Now here it is. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. All the days that you live. This relationship is between you and God, that you would get rid of and destroy anything that would take your heart from him, but seek the places where God is. Can I get an amen? Even Jesus himself had to school the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Remember, that's all these guys do is study the word, the Torah. That's all they did. But even Jesus was having to correct them. Guys, look at this in Matthew 22, 29. Remember, we're talking about mistakes. He says, your mistake, in other translations, he actually says, you're in error. Your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. I want to encourage you with two quick statements. Know his word and know his power. Let me say it again, church. Know his word and then know his power. You see, my past, I can remember it, but I don't want to relive it. There's nothing wrong with looking back at where God said, but I don't want to do it again. I don't want to go back to that stuff. In my future, I know who I live for. It fills me with confidence and with a hope that makes others want to know what's going on. That I actually serve Jesus. That I actually have a relationship with him. Let's get back in the scriptures. Judges 17, 7-9 says this. And a young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah who had been living within the clan of Judah left that town in search of some other place to stay. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. And Micah asked him, where are you from? I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, he said, and I'm looking for a place to stay. And then Micah said to him, check this out, you guys. Live with me and be my father and priest. And this is my third thought. Be careful of what or who you give authority over your life. I mean, guys, this dude is just wandering around. He's looking for something that will fill a void, something that would enable him to do what he wanted to do. He's looking for a place, but guys, here's the reality is that Levite, this young man, he already had something to do. He already had a place he was supposed to be at. He was supposed to be in Shiloh. He was supposed to be at the center of the worship where the tabernacle was. You see, what we know about the tribe of the Levites was that they were helpers to the priest. They're known as the worshiping tribe. And so here is this guy. He's just out looking for something more spectacular. Micah says, just without even thinking, his mouth opens and he says, stay here. Judges 17:10, which we just read, he just said that be a father and a priest over my home. And guys, I just go, okay, wait a second. Micah's older than this young man, so how is he telling him to be father? Catholicism isn't around at this time, so there's no father. There's none of this going on. And so I look it up in Hebrew, and this is what it means. When he says, I'll make you father and priest, he's saying, I'll make you an advisor I'm going to make you a teacher. I'm giving you the name of father out of respect. Listen to this right here. This is in every translation I read. I am giving you authority over me. So, of course, this young Levite jumps at the chance to run in and be the ruler of this household and of the people of the town. And in 1711, it says that he was content to dwell. I couldn't really find a translation that said it better, so I had to look it up. But, guys, it was saying that he acted so fast that as soon as Micah got it out of his mouth, that Levite had ran into his house almost like to escape. Or to hasten to a place, or to be first in the line. How many of you guys have ever ran to be first in the line? I'll admit it. I've cut in line, okay? Lori doesn't let me do that anymore, okay? But why? Why would you want to cut in line? Because you're wanting to get up as close to the front as you possibly can. And that's what, when he says he was content to dwell, it meant as soon as Micah dropped the words, he was in his house already setting up where he was going to live. The Levite agrees to this. He becomes like one of Micah's sons, it says in Scripture. Micah says, stay here, become an authority over my life and my household. The Scriptures say that he said that I will pay you, I will clothe you. And just like that, this wannabe priest, what did we talk about 2 weeks ago? The has-beenites, the wannabeenites, and the gonna-beenites. And here is this wannabe, he's not a priest, he's a Levite. But he wants to be, and now he's living in Micah's house. Micah literally opened the front door to his home and allowed him in. Let's get back in the Scriptures. Judges 17:12. So Micah installed the Levite as his personal priest, and he lived in Micah's house. Church, we have to be careful what we're allowing into our homes. Husbands, I'm going to speak directly to you. We've got to be careful what we allow in our homes. We have to protect our bed. We have to take care of our families. Women that are in this room, we have to be careful what we allow in our homes. We have to take care of our families. We got to serve God with everything that we can, because if we just open the door just a little bit, the enemy is going to want to run in as fast as they can. And we know this. We know this is going to happen. We got to protect our hearts and our minds. Because as soon as we open the door, all of a sudden Satan's in here, and he gets us to start craving for things that we haven't been craving for, like fleshly gratification stuff. Or we'll begin to acquire more and more things that's causing us to bow down to. We're becoming more distracted by the stuff. We become obsessed with being recognized in status and significance. We've seen that with social media. We know that that's a god for a lot of people in their lives. Suddenly, our lives have nothing to do with God. We might say, I'm a believer. You can actually say, I'm an evangelical Christian. If you guys missed Matt Donahue's message on Wednesday, you guys need to go and check it out. I really do. As a devotion, just go check it out. 25 minutes. And he talks about this, that the percentages of people who now say that they're believers, you ought to hear what they believe. These are people that say that I am a Christian, I'm a believer, and you will be shocked at what they think is right and what is wrong. You see, but God is no longer the reigning authority in your life when this happens. And it can happen in an instant. And so I would say this, that if you ever feel like you opened the door, maybe you meant to, maybe you didn't, but you feel like the enemy is coming in, and he's got a foothold, and he's starting to grab, and he's taking more territory from you physically and spiritually, I want to say two things to you. Repent and refocus. You got to make things right with Jesus, and then you got to start focusing back on the things of God. Because that, and listen, this is one thing that I know about the devil that I read of in Scripture, about the enemy. Let me tell you what they say about Satan, is that he is defeated, he is dethroned, and he is destroyed. And this is what I know about Jesus, and this is coming straight out of Scripture, Colossians 2:15. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual ruler and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory on the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Not what is right in our own eyes, but keeping our eyes on Jesus. All of a sudden, when money's not coming in, husbands, wives, our thought is, what do I need to do? How do I change this? When something's going wrong between the husband and wife and the relationship is starting to break down, what happens is somehow we think that we've got to fix it. That I can do it with my own power. Wow. Parents, when you see your kids walk away from Christ, the flesh is, what can I do to fix this? What can I do? Do I enable them? Do I reject them? How do I fix this? When the whole thing is that, remember who you serve. Don't try to do what is right in your own eyes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Can I get an amen? Come on. You see, in 2 Kings, I'm going to read it to you again. Listen to what King Hezekiah did. He said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I don't care what people say to me when it comes to my faith. I just don't care because I know who Jesus is in my life. And there's nothing that's going to change it. Circumstances might change. Money might start coming in. There might be things that happen that outside my family that I can't control. But I'm just not going to take my eyes off of him. Because when I do, it only gets worse. So I want to bring this to a close and have the worship team come on up. Let's give our worship team a hand. What an amazing set today. Unbelievable. And this leads me into my fourth and final point. It is this right here. It doesn't matter if you have a godly relative, you have to know God yourself. Okay? Guys, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I just want you to hear what is the truth that comes out of the story of Micah. It doesn't matter if you have a godly relative, you have to know God for yourself. Judges 17:13 says, sorry. I know the Lord will bless me now, Micah said, because I have a Levite serving as my priest. Guys, he's so far off. He doesn't even know what he's saying now. He's got a guy in there that should have never been priest. He's got a guy in there that should have never been in his home. He's got idols in his home he should have never made. He's built a shrine that should have never existed. And it all started because he was doing what was right in his eyes. And now he's saying, because I've got this fake priest, I'm going to be blessed. Look at the Amplified version. Then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will favor me and make me prosper because I have a Levite as my priest. Guys, did you know that we find out the name of this Levite? We actually find out who he is. This is such a cool part of the story. In Judges 18, the next chapter, in verse 30, it says the Levite's name was Jonathan, look at this, son of Gershom, the son of who? Okay, so you have the Levite who is Jonathan. His father is Gershom, and his grandfather, say it again, is who? Moses. So guys, listen to this. Just because Moses is his grandfather, it didn't mean that Jonathan had a relationship with God. This guy's walking around dropping names and dropping Moses and doing all this other kind of stuff to make him look like, but it doesn't mean that he has a relationship with God. Guys, I can carry a Bible. I can say that I'm an evangelical. I can say I'm a charismatic believer. I can have all the angel figurines through every part of my house. I can have a shofar on every wall. I could be the best shofar blower west of Jerusalem. But it doesn't mean that I have a relationship with Jesus. I could be just like these guys. Look at this picture that's coming up, you guys. I was sitting there praying, and I started taking video, and I took this shot. And these dudes are dressed to the hilt. Those hats cost thousands of dollars. Those suits are thousands of dollars. And they will stand at the Wailing Wall, and they'll do this, praying. They'll do side to side, they'll sing, they'll dance, they'll wail, they'll cry. One time on a trip years ago, I've never done it again, I went down to the wall and I thought, I'm going to do what they're doing. I did it for 40, I couldn't even walk the next day hardly. I got so sore, but they're doing this. They're at the wall, they're crying out to God, they're doing it. But guys, they have no relationship with him. You want to know why? Because they don't know the Messiah. They don't know Jesus. They can have the Torah. They can have all those clothes. They can have the Wailing Wall all to themselves. But they don't have a relationship with the Father because there's only one way to God, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Let's look at the scripture again. Let's just remind ourselves what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said this, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Let me give it to you again. Know his word and know his power. You have to choose to invest time, to dedicate your life, to actually be a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of confusion in the story of Micah. Let's just be honest, there is. And guys, here's the funny thing. Look what the first verse in 18 says. In those days, there was no king in Israel. The book of Judges actually ends on the last scripture. Look what it says. In those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. As I said, from basically 17 to 21 in Judges, it gets so bad, I don't even want to talk about it today on Sunday. And here's the thing, but I don't want there to be any confusion about this. It doesn't matter if you have a godly ancestor in your life, if you don't know God for yourself. I am so thankful for God. I am so thankful for his son, Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for his Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that I know him, his lasting happiness, his freedom, and his good plans for my life. I'm so thankful that Jesus is my King. I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm so thankful for my risen Savior, who daily I give authority over my life. I am so thankful that his Holy Spirit works and moves throughout my life, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know he is my God. That I know that he is my God. I'm gonna say this, because I love this song, they're gonna sing it for us, guys. Listen. I just think that it's so important that all of us brought something different into this place today. All of us are. And some of us could literally be, I'm struggling with my faith right now, Pastor Matt. Some of us, this was probably maybe your last Sunday you were gonna come because you're just so sick of playing church, or you think we're hypocrites or whatever that looks like. There could be some of you that have been praying for a healing and you haven't seen a healing. You could be struggling with your dedicating your life to God, that you're finding that you're being more inconsistent than being solid. But I want you to know God's okay with that. He just wants you to keep your eyes on him. Whatever you have brought into this place, I'm telling you, God is big enough to take care of every one of us in here. Alan was in the hospital just yesterday. Possible surgery. We didn't know what was going to happen. And then the Lord, here he is on Sunday, worshiping the Lord with us. And I'm so thankful for this. Got Casey Kibbe back from, how long were you gone now, dude? 5 months on a ship serving our country. We're just thankful you're back with us too as well. Guys, there's a lot of beauty in what God is doing in our families and everything. It's just up to each and every one of us to make the decision that I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to just say I'm a Christian. I want to live this life, amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For what you're doing in this church, Lord God. Thank you for what you're doing in this building. That even throughout our worship team and through our congregation and our media team and the people who are serving with the kids, you are doing great things in our lives. But God, that some of us are still struggling. Some of us are making mistakes and we can't get control of it. Some of us opened the door just barely and the enemy ran in and started setting up camp in our hearts and he's lied to us. He's made us feel unworthy. He's made us feel like we can't do it, that we can't complete it, that God really wasn't speaking to us. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to help us with that. Father, I'm praying if there's any in this place that are struggling with their faith today, that God, that you would encourage them where they are. And if by chance there's anybody that is still sitting at home and has not come and worshiped with the body, Lord, help them to get off the couch and find a place to worship. Your precious name, God, help us all just to be in a place where we are dedicating ourselves to you. With every head bowed and eye closed, you say, Pastor Matt, actually, let's all stand. Let's stand.